Well, dear congregation, belonging to Christ, in tonight's special service, we are here to commemorate and to celebrate Jesus' ascension. It is biblical teaching, and it is an historical fact that 40 days after Jesus arose, he miraculously, physically, triumphantly ascended into heaven. Jesus returned to his Father in glory. We celebrate this always on a Thursday, just short of 6 weeks after Easter Sunday, because that marks 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. And it's 10 days after Jesus' ascension that we remember with special thanksgiving and joy the fact of Pentecost, when both God the Father and God the Son poured out the Holy Spirit on the earth for the church in the ministry of the gospel worldwide. Now, it could be that you are maybe from home or here, you are someone that can't get too enthused about Jesus' ascension so long ago now. The tragic reality is that the world doesn't think of it whatsoever. And even much of the Christian church, sadly, hardly remembers it either. If people do think of it, ultimately see it as more or less irrelevant and of little significance for us today. You might as well watch the Flames and Canucks hockey game tonight, both losing teams, neither of which are even in the playoffs. Jesus' ascension can seem as meaningless as that for all too many people, even Christian people. But dear congregation, we are not thinking rightly nor biblically when that is our mindset and attitude. And to help us really see the important and wonderful significance of Jesus' ascension tonight, I thought let us view it from the perspective of the Old Testament story of Joseph. We all love that story. I sure do. We all know that story in Genesis, don't we? Especially of the day when Joseph suddenly was transferred from prison, from a dungeon in Egypt, and lifted up to the second person in command over all the land of Egypt. Joseph's exaltation from an Egyptian prison to the Egyptian throne was something very astonishing that God accomplished in Joseph's life. And that ultimately, for God's gospel purposes, for his people. While nowhere in Scripture is Joseph clearly pointed out as a type of Christ, like David, for example, yet there are wonderful parallels in Joseph's life, which later are reflected in Jesus' life in a more dramatic and emphatic way, most gloriously so even. So our theme for this evening service is, as given in the bulletin, glorying in Jesus' ascension in comparison to Joseph's exaltation. My prayer and care is that viewing Jesus' ascension tonight from the perspective of the earlier story of Joseph, all our hearts will be warmed to the gospel riches in Christ Jesus. Yes, whether we are younger or older, that we may be melted in awe before the Lord Jesus, and moved to praise and worship God triune for him, King Jesus, on the throne at God's right hand in glory in eternal heaven above. There is one godly writer of former times, A.W. Pink, maybe some of you have some books from him, who gave at least 101 parallels between the life of Joseph in Genesis to that of Jesus in the Gospels. Now, most agree this writer zealously stretched this matter a little too far. Yet almost all will say, especially with Joseph's amazing release from prison and his astonishing placement on the throne over Egypt, here we do have such a clear picture of something of what also happened to Jesus when he left this world of sin and misery and ascended to God above in glory and splendor and power beyond measure. In terms of Joseph, think of it, as one put it, an unknown alien prisoner suddenly elevated over the entire land of Egypt. What a surprise in Joseph's case. I mean, was there ever a more sudden and complete change of condition in a man's estate? But now consider the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, as Paul states in Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation coming to this earth. He took on him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Yes, God came in the flesh, the incarnate one. Jesus did come here so to seek and to save sinners. And after humbling himself in coming here, he humbled himself more still in becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then what does Paul say further in Philippians 2 about him? Wherefore? God has also highly exalted him, Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every other name, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. This is what happened, congregation. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he was glorified, ascended to be with God his Father, and he was given the highest place of authority there beside the Lord at his right hand. Well, our main scripture for this evening is Genesis 41, verse 41 and 55 to 57. Let me read those verses again to you. Just reading them is so powerful and precious. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." So when all the land of Egypt was famished on account of the 7 years of famine, after 7 years of plenty, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do." The famine was over the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all lands. Well, now to glory in Jesus' ascension, in comparison to Joseph's exaltation, let's first notice some of the interesting parallels. For instance, as others have noted before, Joseph was rejected by his brethren. Jesus was rejected by the Jews, his brethren according to the flesh. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites. Jesus was sold by the treachery of Judas Iscariot for 30 pieces of silver and handed over to the Gentiles. Joseph was betrayed by lying Potiphar's wife and forgotten by the butler. And Jesus was betrayed by the false witnesses, and even his disciples were not true to their word to him. Joseph was cast into prison, and Jesus was arrested and crucified and left dead in a tomb. As one noted even, the two malefactors on the cross beside Jesus, in a certain sense, find their counterpart in Joseph's fellow prisoners, the baker and the butler. But especially, yes, in Joseph, though a Hebrew by birth and rejected of his own brethren, yet being marvelously raised to an almost supreme power in a Gentile state, the land of Egypt, how he was then also used wonderfully to save many people from starvation in that position and provide remedy even for people outside of Egypt. It all is a foreshadowing of Jesus the Savior. Joseph is also given a new name by Pharaoh, which has been translated Savior of the World, or Revealer of Secrets, or Provider of Abundant Life, or God Speaks and He Lives. We don't know the exact meaning, really, of the name he was given in verse 45, Zaphnath-Paneah. These ones I mentioned are the ones that have been given. But that's how Joseph was viewed, you see, by the people, was so clearly interpreting the dreams that Pharaoh had and then giving such wise counsel on how to proceed to avoid danger, disaster and doom and starvation. Well, Jesus Christ, of course, we know, he's all those names and much more, isn't he? His name, Jesus, actually means Savior. He's Savior of sinners. He's Savior of the world, which apart from him is headed to everlasting doom and destruction. As all Egypt also was ordered to listen to Joseph and follow his plans and his word and will, so also all the world now, isn't it true, is called to trust and to follow Jesus Christ, the once crucified and now risen and ascended, exalted Savior and Lord over all on the throne in heaven. Well, I've shown you some interesting parallels, but consider how infinitely different also Jesus' ascension is from the exaltation of Joseph. Joseph, we know, was a sinner like us. But Jesus, he was without sin, and he's God. He's God come in the flesh, in the fullness of time. All the humiliation Joseph experienced in his life, as deep as it was, cannot be compared to what all Jesus went through, coming from heaven to this earth and then taking on human flesh to serve as the one mediator between God and man. And Jesus, he came to pay the full and eternal punishment for sin that we people deserve of ourselves. All of us without exception. And it meant for Jesus, didn't it, descending as it were into the very depths of hell itself on behalf of his people. And that's what Jesus did. That was part of his mission. What happened providentially to Joseph's life, that happened providentially by God's design for him and leading of him. But what happened to Jesus was something voluntary on Jesus' part, every step of the way. He was a man without sin who would give his life to help save others. And there are huge differences also between Joseph and Jesus' exaltation. Jesus, when he arose from the grave and 40 days later ascended into heaven to be with his Father, he didn't just go to an earthly kingdom. He went to the highest throne in the whole universe. And it was no surprise to him, his day of ascension. It was not a surprise. As for Joseph, it was a total surprise the day he went from the dungeon to Pharaoh's side. Oh yes, Joseph had at least two dreams that suggested one day he might have a position, a high position, causing many, even his brothers and his father Jacob, to bow before him. But he didn't know how that would happen. But compare that to Jesus, who earned the glory of his ascension and his seat at the right hand of God on the throne in heaven. It was all part of what was coming to him in honor to him for the fruit of his finished work as sin bearer and Savior. As I said, for Joseph, it was a big surprise, his being raised from prison to the throne. For Jesus, he knew it was coming to him. And it was his goal. He was looking forward to it. He was looking forward to it that from the throne in heaven, he might serve God and serve his people from all that he has done for his people as crucified Savior and risen Savior. And what we really need to understand, dear congregation, and I have to keep telling myself too, that this is so true with Jesus' ascension, what we can be so thankful about and so thrilled about is that Jesus ascended to heaven, not just in his divine nature, but also in his human nature. With Jesus' ascension, like Joseph in Pharaoh's kingdom, now we have a human being, literally, a human being in glory on the throne. Not only the Son of God is seated there in glory, but Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, in his glorified human body with his crucifixion scars still with him. Joseph was the top man in the greatest country of the world of his day. But Jesus is a top man, human being, over the whole wide world and over all the nations and peoples. They are subject to him and his reign and his control in everything. And now think of it. Joseph, in the 7 plentiful years, he worked hard. He worked hard to plan and to save and to store food supplies for the 7 famine years that were coming, that would follow. But compare that to what Jesus has done. In his time when here on earth, as suffering Savior, he spent himself, didn't he? During that whole time he was here before his death, to do everything necessary for the full and complete redemption of sinners like us, for all his elect people, he would do everything required to save us from our sins. And with the Lord Jesus Christ now in heaven above, there are boundless supplies of divine mercy and almighty help and compassion and deliverance and care in our every need. For soul and body, mind and heart, even as you and I appeal to him and call out to him, and as often as you and I go to him, and we're going to the God-man, Jesus Christ, who is acquainted with us in all kinds of ways, more than we ever know. Plus, think of it. We're told that Joseph, when people came to him for food, they had to pay. They had to pay. But when you go to Jesus for help, for mercy, for comfort, you never have to pay. He paid it all. He gives freely from what he has accomplished, from his storehouse of supplies for his people. For any believing, repentant sinner that calls to the Lord to be merciful to him, to show compassion on him, when we are of ourselves deserving only God's wrath, yet God, for Jesus' sake, delights in mercy and loves to supply us in our needs out of his fullness. And while there were seemingly endless supplies of food stored by Joseph, even the text says there was an immeasurable amount. It doesn't say there was an unlimited amount. But with Jesus, it's not only immeasurable, it's unlimited. When you go to him, what he supplies for sinners like us, as crucified, resurrected, ascended Savior, his supplies are immeasurable and unlimited too. No sinner who calls on him need perish. Whoever comes to him will be saved and will be supplied out of his fullness. Here, notice something else different from Joseph and Jesus, and that is, Joseph was only exalted for the years he lived, from age 30 to age, do you know how old he was when he died? 110. Genesis 50:22 says that. So that means for 80 years, that's a long time, but 80 years he was ruler, he was top man in top command under Pharaoh in Egypt. But then it was over. And the Bible says, the next pharaohs forgot about Joseph. In Exodus, we read, Exodus 1:8, now there arose a new king over Egypt that did not know Joseph. Did not know Joseph. A couple generations later. But Jesus, how long does he reign as king over all, seated on high at God's right hand? How long does the holy God have him reign? Why? You know, don't you? Forever and ever. J.C. Kenney might be told today, hey, we don't want you as ruler anymore of UCP party, but no one will ever remove Jesus from the throne in glory. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever by God's design and God's gift and honor to his son. When Jesus told his disciples just before his ascension in Matthew 28, all authority or power is given to me in heaven and on earth, there was no time limit to this. His is not a 4-year term or a 40 or 80-year term or a 2,000-year term, but a term to all eternity. how infinitely reliable and comforting this gospel truth is, truly. It took Joseph also, we know, at least 7 years to build up his reputation and to prove his reliability as top ruler under Pharaoh. His reliability really came out when the 7 years of famine came and the people needed help and food. Then Joseph shined, didn't he? Because he had prepared for it all. But Jesus, even 10 days, only 10 days after his ascension, he proved his reliability and trustworthiness when together with God the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit as comforter for his disciples and for his church. As the elder of service read before, and I almost had called him to say, would you mind reading that? But I said, no, I'll leave it. And he read it, so it was beautiful. The last verses of Luke 24, Jesus, in those last verses, we're told, with his nail-pierced hands stretched out, he ascended. They saw him go that way, in that posture, meaning he was ascending, giving gifts to men. He was ascending not to forget them, but ever to remember them and to pour out his boundless blessings upon them in their needs from heaven above. Here it's good to quote, dear congregation, what I have in the bulletin, a quote in the bulletin. With Jesus' ascension, the Savior was promoted. He had quite literally, wrote this person, gone up in the world. Indeed, with Jesus' ascension, the Son of God was now recalled to headquarters to become managing director over all the world, over all God has, and over all God gives for his people. Yes, he became managing director, and especially to the benefit of all God's people, as many as are trusting and following the Lord in spirit and truth in accordance with his word. And so this writer says, the doctrine of Christ's ascension, when understood, is calculated to give us and to bring us the most comfort and joy. And the challenge is for us to live in the light of its truth. And so I'd like to ask, is this how you are grasping and embracing and enjoying the gospel fact of Jesus' ascension in glory? Do you say with conviction and joy what the believer testifies in question and answer 49 when asked, of what advantage is it to you, Christ's ascension into heaven? Of what advantage, you ask? Oh, says the believer, with God's people, it means first that he, my Savior, is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. And secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven already as a sure pledge that he as the head will also take up to himself us, his members. And thirdly, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, as a guarantee, as a pledge by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God and not things on earth. Here we need to consider too, beloved, how Joseph in his exaltation by God's design and covenant faithfulness was given that position way back in Genesis, literally for the keeping and the advancement of God's church and kingdom in the world. Joseph was used to save the covenant family in his day and to preserve them. And isn't it the same now with Jesus ascended in heaven? He is seated there in glory to guide and to rule all matters here on earth that will accomplish God triune's plans and promises for the calling and the gathering and the preserving of all his people till the last day. And then to bring us all home to glory with him one day, there to reign with him forever, with our Savior, our elder brother, in the new heavens and new earth to come. And when Christ returns, we know, then all the wicked and unbelieving will be forever removed and cast away in the place of eternal condemnation. But all God's people will be then saved by grace, abiding, who are saved by grace here, they will be then abiding in Christ and going to glory with him forever. In my Father's house, we read Jesus say, the night before he was crucified, and when he was talking about his ascension, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. That's his promise as ascended Savior. In a way, you can say, congregation, when Jacob and his family, all Joseph's brothers, came to Egypt to settle there in Goshen, that too was like a faint foreshadowing of the glorious heavenly rest God in Christ will grant to all his redeemed people, as many as trust him as only Savior and Lord. Well, do you hear and see all these tidings as for sure glad tidings of good things, congregation, made known to us with Jesus' ascension? It's not just a boring, irrelevant truth. No, it's a blessed, most relevant teaching. And we see it comparing also Joseph, when he was highly exalted in his time in Egypt long ago, with Jesus' ascension now. How amazing, don't you think, is the Word of God, the Scriptures, ever pointing to Jesus in all kinds of ways, having us learn in Christ is our all and all. Is that what you understand too? Are you finding in him your all and all? Or are you maybe still just interested in the things of this world? Are you caught up with what the world offers? And you can't be interested in what the Bible teaches about our Savior God, Jesus Christ. Are you more interested and caught up in a little hockey game between two losing teams who soon will be packing it in for another season with little to show or tell, no matter how promising it seemed earlier with them? Oh, nothing, congregation, can compare ever with the importance and blessing of being joined to Christ in true faith and living in humble and hearty reliance on him as crucified, risen, exalted Savior. Here, listen with me to a contemporary preacher, Alistair Begg. He writes in his commentary on Joseph, and he says this on Genesis 41. Joseph, he says, is an actual historical figure who was raised to prominence and developed and followed through successfully on a real good plan to deal with a real bad famine in Egypt long ago. But then he writes, don't read that story without seeing it also as the finger of God pointing us forward to Jesus and to his supply for us in our spiritual famine. Throughout this history of Joseph's story in Genesis, Jesus, the Word made flesh, is saying, says this commentator rightly, he's saying to men and women and boys and girls, come to me with your famine. Come to me with your emptiness and your sin and your need and your weakness and your guilt and your trouble, whatever it may be. Come to me, and you will never hunger or thirst again. Come to me, and I will give you rest and plenty for soul and body in life and death, for now and forevermore. And all the costs are paid by me. Do you see the gospel in all this? The text tells us in Genesis 41, when the people cried out for food, Pharaoh told them all to go to Joseph, and he would help and supply them in their need. Well, so is our Savior God in Jesus Christ. And Jesus' ascension, congregation, proclaims and promises and assures us of this gospel so much more clearly for all who turn to him initially and for all our lives. Yes, even from generation to generation, till the Lord Jesus one day returns again from heaven for the last judgment day and then to establish his eternal kingdom in glory. Well, we should be so hopeful and comforted, beloved, in the way of the Lord with Jesus on the throne in glory. What can go wrong with him reigning there, seated at God's right hand? He's not a Biden. He's not a Trudeau. He's not a Netanyahu. He's not a Putin. He's not a Johnson. No, he's Jesus Christ, the Lord, the righteous one, the holy one, the glorious one, the gracious one, the most honorable one, the almighty one. Is there any need he cannot fulfill? Is there any challenge too great for him to manage? COVID too, he's in control. In the world today, it seems like the governments of the nations don't know anymore how to handle matters. Various headlines across the world speak of countries in utter chaos, and everything seems to be spinning out of control. But while that may be true of so many human leaders here on earth presently, it is not the case with Jesus Christ seated at God's right hand in glory as ascended, exalted Savior of sinners. He never makes a mistake. He knows all things. Nothing skips his notice, and no one and nothing is outside of his rule and his dominion. Even if we don't understand it, what's all happening also now, we can trust this Jesus still. In fact, it's only always trusting him alone and above all that you are safe and sound, even in the perilous last days when the last judgment day will come with Jesus' return in his triumphant reign on the clouds of heaven. Who knows how soon now? Well, may thinking of Jesus' ascension this Thursday night, May 13, 2021, in terms of Joseph's exaltation long ago, really help you and myself, beloved, to see what a Savior we have in Jesus. And may it give you peace and calm and poise, even in the midst of whatever storms and turmoil we are yet in here below. We need not despair, not with Jesus on the throne. You know, in the days of Genesis 41, everyone was talking about it and telling about how there's food and help in Egypt. Yes, with that God-given leader there by the name of Joseph, called in Egypt Zaphnath-Paaneah, Savior of the world. But Joseph was only in a very small way, for a very short time, a Savior, a deliverer, a helper. But Jesus Christ, congregation, is the ascended one, and he is the forever Savior of the whole world in a major way and for all time. This good news of the gospel is yet freely offered and proclaimed to one and all. And as Psalm 68:18 also says, it excludes none, even the rebellious who turn from sin and trust and follow him. Will there be any that will not turn to him? That will stay rejecting him? Oh, let's not miss the good news of Jesus' ascension. It makes all the difference in the world, I said to someone today. It makes all the difference in the world who is the top man in control of everything. And tonight we may be reminded from God's word, Jesus ascended and he reigns at God's right hand as Almighty King and Lord over all. So let us be encouraged, each and every one, with this extra good news, this additional fact of Jesus Christ. And let's be glorying together in Jesus, the ascended one, comparing it also to Joseph and his exaltation. And let's tell others, Jesus reigns. Let's tell others, for the world has gone completely mad, but there is a Savior still. His name is Jesus, and he reigns at God's right hand as the ascended Savior. And through his church, he calls all to come to him. Are we listening? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the good news that Jesus reigns. Thank you that it's not just for 40 years or 80 years, as great as that was in Joseph's time, and Joseph for the land of Egypt, and for the history of the people of God in that time. But our Savior, greater than Joseph, reigns forever. And he is on the throne as the all-wise, all-powerful one. Help us, Lord, to trust in you and to call on you in all the troubles of our day. Not to despair, not to be hopeless, but to be hopeful still, depending on the God whose word is true, whose power can never be overthrown, whose glory is infinite, and whose supplies are unlimited and immeasurable for as oft as we come to you for them. Oh, hear our prayer. Receive our praise. Thank you for this hour of commemorating and celebrating Jesus' ascension. May it have glorified you, and may we be edified and sinners be saved. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.